CIB English Radio presents Viewpoint.
Viewpoint.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my dear guest in the studio, sitting with me here in the studio, Brother Habib and Brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to both of you. First, let me start with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, Brother Habib, at your service. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. And Brother Mahdi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Mahdi, and I'm really glad to be here with you guys, inshallah.
My pleasure.
Enjoy this night.
Thank you very much. In these series of programs, we are in fact delving into some issues, and we hope and expect you in fact to contribute as much as you can to the topics that are raised usually. I wanted to say that, I know related to the previous topic that we had, the relationship between COVID-19 and religious identity. Religious identity doesn't happen in vacuum, by the way, all right? Religious identity is constituted or formed by a set of beliefs that people gather throughout time, from their childhood, even when they were...
From what they hear, from what they study, from
exactly.
what they read.
Exactly. And we have many sources that are feeding us, right? And those sources, in fact, somehow form our personality, every identity that we carry within ourselves. Religious identity being one of them, right? So that's something quite to consider for the previous topic. And then I just wanted to ask you, Brother Mahdi, do we have to hold these religious gatherings, like, for example, Arba'een procession?
I believe it's a necessity. For me, I can't live without visiting Karbala. I can't live without visiting the shrines of Lady Masuna. I can't live without going to Mashhad. I can't live without going to Masjid. That's part of my life. That's a necessity of mine, and that's how... How do we respect, in the United States, how come we respect the choice of people who decide to go unvaccinated because they do not believe in vaccination? I think it's a matter of respecting the choice. But am I going to impose it to others? No, that's my right. Lady Masuma, for example, her shrine is for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's my right to visit her. Well, social distancing, place it on as a policy, put it inside the harem so people... visit the shrine with social distancing.
But a lot of scientists say otherwise. They let's say, argue against your view that they say that in most of these public gatherings, in fact, they see more of these, let's say, infection going on, you know?
Well, that's what I was saying back in the United States. I said to people, don't go to Costco, right? Don't go to Costco from tomorrow on. Why is the masjid is closed down?
Yeah, they don't differentiate between the two. They don't say only the religious gathering. They say every kind of gathering.
That's my point of view.
That's the philosophy behind all the quarantines that was going on. In fact, in every corner of the world, you know,
sure.
Except
Brother Muhammad Jawad, when when this virus first started, the first thing that popped up to my mind was, why are we shutting down everything? I was against the idea of quarantine. I was also against the idea of starting research for vaccine. I was with the idea of searching for medicine.
They were doing the same thing. But in the meantime, before then, the world has been taken by surprise.
No.
We see the experience of China. And he was, I think it was successful to
it
some
wasn't
extent.
Successful. It wasn't successful. It wasn't that successful. At the end of the day, people got affected. Even those who stayed quarantined their entire... I know a person.
No, they didn't know it then.
I know a person. Even though they didn't know it. Even now if they know it. Even if they didn't know at the time. We know people who got the corona. They survived. Yes, people passed away. I know a person who stayed in his house throughout the 1.5 year. How long have we been with this?
Probably virus? About 2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years. He's been in his house. He only goes outside to buy cigars.
Okay.
Right? That's the only thing he goes out. And he, cleans everything and he does everything. That person caught it. He caught it. At the end of the day, one day or another, we're going to get it. It's something that they all accepted, that as long as it's a contagious disease, we're going to get it. SARS wasn't as fast as this one was, but This one is faster. Okay, yes. No problem. So we're going to get it. Why did we quarantine? Why did we ruin our businesses? Why did we close down our opportunities? Why do people have to go through these hardships? Why did governments have to pay for the
so
for
this
the, for the
way
visuals?
you make it spread faster?
Let it spread faster. Who's going to die? I personally believe if I was going to die, well, at least let me die when I was visiting.
You can't tell that to those.
You don't want to go stay in your house.
The victims, the mourners of over 5 million people who have been dead as a result of COVID-19.
Sometimes, yes, it happens as an accident. Okay, we mourn with them. But at the end of the day, car accidents are available. I don't know what airplane accidents are available. I don't know what kind of other examples.
But we don't expose ourselves to the car accidents, do we?
You're exposing every time you go on the road. You're exposing yourself.
Yeah, but you don't go that with that
the
intention.
The accidents
in mind.
Happen. All right. So if you're afraid, stay at your home.
Maybe Brother Habib means this. Maybe he means that if look at it as a religious duty, as a taklif, that if you're having symptoms, it's a religious taklif on you to stay away from.
If
the
you're
crowds.
Not going to hurt someone, for example,
exactly.
That's what Sayyid Sistani's office gave out in Najaf.
Yeah, lots
of
religious authorities, even in Rome.
But I have had a personal experience, Brother Muhammad. Well, I'm a preacher of Islam and I go abroad and I recite for Ahlul Bayt. And from the beginning of COVID, many of the people who were in my field, they stayed away. Many of them were scared of spreading COVID. Many of them were scared of
getting
infected and dying.
Yes.
What I did was that these people have left out the field, so I have to sup for them so that the flag of Ahlul Bayt shouldn't fall down. That's what I felt. The flag of Ahlul Bayt will never fall down if I'm dead or alive. So what I did was, if I was going to recite like once a day or once a week, that was multiplied by a couple times more because I was subbing for other people as well.
Yes.
People, the very first Muharram of COVID, many of the majalis, many of the gatherings in the United States and in Europe became virtual, right? But our masjid had its program in person.
Right.
And let me be honest with you, being in the danger of getting infected by the COVID, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until today, being in close proximity of so many of the believers, I haven't got the COVID. And I believe the only reason for that was the mercy of Allah. Nothing else. And that's what my belief is. This might increase a lot of controversies, right?
Yes.
But this
and
is my belief.
But lots of other
I'm pretty sure Brother Habib can add to this matter.
But lots of other people, in fact, got infected and they died.
They did.
And they were also believers.
Yeah, true. And what happened, true, that's why I'm not going to make a law out of it. I'm not going to make a qa'ide,
yes,
right?
General rule.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a general rule for it, but this is what I experienced myself. Those who backed
they
down.
They missed out.
Exactly.
I personally believe, I talked to this even with, you know, one of the maraja. They missed out. They closed the majalis that they had in their office and whatnot, and their homes and whatnot. Yet, after Muharram, this alim passed away. They had to go into Haram Amir al-Mu'mineen. They had to have people come over and go over. All of it was against what? The COVID, 19 restrictions. Yet at the same time, when I asked one of them, jokingly, of course, because if I was too harsh on them, they were harsh as well. They said that, yeah, we did a mistake. We missed out on Muharram. Because nothing happened. All right, he passed away. And we didn't do majalis.
Yes.
People went to other majalis.
And Quranically, we believe that when your time comes, you're going to pass away with COVID, with heart infection, infarctus.
But you can't hasten it.
No, that's the thing.
We can hasten it with
right
sinning.
Right away what popped in my mind.
We can hasten it with sinning. I mean, no one is...
Exactly.
Right?
That's
no one is. No, I'm not imposing myself into suicide, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing.
That hastening it in terms of that, I mean, suicide itself is a sin.
Yes.
Right?
True.
I can hasten my death with sinning. And I can prolong my life with obedience of Allah. And that's what we pray for. And like these daily du'as that we have, one of them is saying this. We ask Allah, if I start sinning, if my sins become more than the obedience, the acts of obedience,
right,
and the good deeds that I gather, oh Allah, hasten my death so that I pass away from this world sooner with less of burden on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Opposite to that, and we can do some other things, like for example, paying alms or charity may prolong your life.
So that's a good deed.
Yes.
Good deeds can prolong your life, and at the same time, hastening it. I mean, shorter life is a cause most of the times. And let me. I was reading this in one of the Islamic sources that prior to Islam, the death where like people were walking the side of the street and all of a sudden they died. Mm. This type of gradual death that you get into sicknesses, long sicknesses, is one of the signs of mercy of Allah,
mm-hmm.
because your sins get forgiven.
You get purged.
Exactly. The darknesses in your soul and the spirit gets purified. You become mutahhar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add something else to this topic altogether. Where are we going with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is, that we have to entrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do asma billahi ta'ala and, you know, ask for protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These concepts, all of them, all of a sudden were flown out of the window. You know, all right, go outside. No, 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 Corona 19, no. Majlis, no, 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 no. Corona 19, man. They would close it. What about trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? True, like how we Allah all agreed on. It's not suicide. As long as you're not 100% certain that you're going to die, or you're like even 90% certain that you're going to die, even though you may get infected, all right, it's like the normal, you know, flu, you know, with that kind of thing, but a little bit more severe. At the end of the day, we also trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I mean,
we also have that, you know, belief in protect and Allah's protection. Where did we throw that out?
Let's become a polytheist a little bit. There's one of the ulama, one of the scholars went there and they said, what is the topic of your speech, your lecture? He said, I want to ask people who to become polytheist. And they said, what do you mean? He said, just make Allah contribute a little bit, 5% into your belief. So that I'm... This really bothers me, yeah, myself in, yes, my private times,
yes,
that I believe in protection of this face mask that I wear,
right,
that scientifically does not 100% secures you from getting
COVID. Not even the vaccines that, yes, we take now.
Exactly, the vaccine. I trust those more than Allah, right? One of the tests, personal tests that I went through from the beginning of COVID was that my iman got testified.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in Allah? How much do I believe in Allah? The amount of belief in Allah that I have practiced in the times of ease and comfort, it's going to show itself in the times of tribulations and discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
In the times of, in the situations like COVID, right? How much did I get connected to Allah prior to that? How ready did I get for difficulties and tests that are going to come to my way? In this dunya, how much have I been connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's going to show and reflect itself on the day of judgment.
Right.
Right? There's an angel called Khazin, right? That angel is said
at
to
the gate
be
of
exactly
the hell.
That angel is said to be to have a very horrific look.
Mm-hmm.
That anyone who sees that angel gets really horrified and, mm-hmm, terrified. Right? It's been said that the angel is so scary to the extent that you forget all of the ma'arif and all of those belief that you've had in this world.
Oh,
unless and except you have been really practicing what you believed in, mm-hmm, this life of dunya.
Yes.
For example, Ahlul Bayt, the love of Imam Hussein, you're going to forget it unless you truly lived it in this dunya.
Yes.
One thing that we've been talking about, you know, how religious people are affected by it. I'm intrigued to understand more about how atheists are affected by it. Those who believe in science is the answer to everything. They know they believe in the maddiyat, materialistic world.
Yes.
One, I don't know how small that is, you know, precisely, but the thing is small. You can't even see it. That one little thing that affects the, you know, the codes in your DNA to a point where everything closes, where everything, you know, just goes down together. Where they saw themselves, where they believe that humanity has become superior and whatnot, all, mm-hmm, those beliefs, all of a sudden, fear for something that cannot be seen, is so small that cannot be seen, how it changed life, how it changed the way we view life, how,
right,
it changed the way we view medicine, the way we view how to treat things, how it opened us, you know, to put either hand in hand, and, you know, in some countries fight over toilet papers.
And also reconsider all of our,
exactly,
beliefs and actions.
Exactly. Those atheists or those scientists, you know, kind of people, how are they, you know, believing between themselves? That really just intrigues me. I want to understand more about, you know, how they feel, how they
I
are.
I think they are motivated by other things, such as, like, we religious people, we believe in the hereafter, we believe in...
No, I know, but, like, for example, like...
There is a goal
for
us.
They were living in peace
certainly
and harmony.
Certainly there is a goal for them too, right? But their goal may not be like a spiritual or...
They can't cure it. That's the thing. Now, for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to send Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, you know, on the general laws that we studied in theology,
mm-hmm.
he would come with a cure for it, for example. Okay. So I don't know, maybe.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Brother Mahdi, for your nice talk and contribution to the program.
Debate.
Yes.
It wasn't that. We were debating with the host. We were agreeing on this topic.
Thank you very much for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, signing off. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. As I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge. We are discussing the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are dealing with the sermon number 87, which talks about the situation of the communities before the coming of Islam. And we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that فَهِيَ مُتَجَهِّمَةٌ لأهلها عابسة في وجه طالبها. That the world at that time was such that those who are worldly, who loved the world, who are indulged in the world, were faced with a world that did not like them, did not want to embrace them. عَابِسَةٌ فِي وَجْهِ طَالِبِهَا, a world that was scowling down on them, that was frowning on their face. That means, however much the people tried to progress materially, but because they wanted to seek material issues, the world, on the other hand, was not fully giving them what they wanted. So, in fact, the material progress was not truly happening. And this is the situation, truly, that Imam Ali Salam says. And if you noticed, in the world of today also, this is clear. And I would like to give you a few examples of how this is happening in the present day and age.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that when these communities sought the world, wanted the world on the other hand did not give them the fullest. That is, material progress was not truly being achieved because of them being indulged into various petty material issues. And this is the situation that the world is facing today. The Western civilization, the imperialistic regimes that came up with this imperialistic philosophy and this imperialism and capitalism, we see that it had created a lot of hype in the beginning, this worldly movement. And the worldly movement begins to grow. People thought that there is material progress, there is material happiness, there is material goodness. But when people start to indulge in the world in the negative way, when they start to involve themselves and seek the world in a negative way, on the other hand, the world slowly begins to scowl down on them. And this is a reality that we see the Western civilization and the imperialistic regimes, like a bubble, begin to grow. And now you can see that the bubble is about to explode. A bubble at the end of the day is just a bubble. It is not truly water. It's just air. It's empty. It's just a bubble. And that bubble is about to explode. We see that the Western world today, the infrastructures, for example, of America, the infrastructure is getting destroyed. Money is being spent like crazy on wars. Moral depravity on the other hand. Religious extremism being supported on the other hand. So we notice that because the world is being sought in a negative manner, the world is not giving you its fullness. And this is what is happening to the Western regimes and the Western governments, that you will see with time these are now achieving their downfall. And this downward spiral cannot be stopped. Why it cannot be stopped? Because the core of these regimes, the core of these governments, the core of these systems is seeking the world for what it is. Seeking the world, not because the world will take you somewhere else, take you to a higher cause. No, for what it is. And just to feed the rich and the powerful and the greedy. And this system is about to collapse. The ants have begun to eat it from within. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying. That فَهِيَ مُتَهَجِّمَةٌ لِأَهْلِهَا عَابِسَةٌ فِي وَجْهِ طَالِبِهَا. That these regimes, these oppressive imperialistic regimes, you want to seek the world, but the world is now frowning on you. It is looking at you with a look of anger, and that face is not ready to accept you.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, this was a reminiscence of what happened in those previous days, and now what is happening in this day and age. And we see that in this day and age, that which will help you and help us to have true material progress even would be to uphold the moral teachings of Islam. Of course, this is a very detailed discussion, which will be discussed slowly in other sessions and with other experts. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say, "Thamaruha al-fitna," that this world is such that its at that time was such that its fruits were nothing but tribulations that were blocking people from achieving their objectives as human beings. You know, oppression and persecution. These were the fruits. Thamaruha al-fitna. The world had become like this. Wherever you would go in this world, in this vast land of cultivated, you can say, oppression and tribulation, wherever you would pass, that plant and the tree of tribulation would be there for you. The poisonous, you know, the poisonous plantations were there. Those tribulations and difficulties, not the positive difficulties, but those that would take people away from the path of truth, from the path of guidance. Shaitan was there. The group of the devils was there. They together were seeking to remove the people from the path of truth. You know, the great scholar says that, you know, the devil, he has got many ropes with which he pulls people. Some are thick, some are thin, some are frail. But some, they don't need a rope. They come by themselves. So these devils, they pull people with these ropes. Sometimes you need a big, thick chain, depending on the type of people there are. And this is the way the devilish system works. Gives fitna everywhere for people to turn away from the path of truth. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from these kinds of fitnas and tribulations. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Economic Divide.
The U.S. is experiencing record inflation standing at a 30-year high. Americans are paying more for cars, for clothes, food, and energy. And this is while there are other economies around the world, like China and the U.K., who are also suffering from record inflation. Hi, I'm Kavitak Wei. Stay tuned as we dive into the world of inflation, first in the U.S., then in other parts of the world. We're going to take a look at inflation rate in the U.S., 6.2% in October. It has risen compared to a year ago. That's the fastest annual increase in over 30 years. Americans are suffering as a result of that. Then we're going to take a look at possible reasons for inflation. Higher energy costs, maybe one, an increase of demand due to the post-COVID-19 period. Also, supply chain disruptions like the port crisis. Then we're going to take a look at the spread of inflation, which seems to be a global phenomenon. The impact is being felt around the world. Price increases on basic commodities has occurred. China, UK, and Germany, three countries that are suffering as a result. How bad are other parts of the world?
As the reopening continues, bottlenecks, hiring difficulties, and other constraints could again prove to be greater and longer lasting than anticipated, posing upside risks to inflation.
Inflation that has not been seen in decades. That is the case in the U.S., standing at a 30-year high. This means that Americans are paying more for things like cars, clothes, food, and energy.
Well, when you think about it, we threw $5.4 trillion at the economy. That was about 20 to 25% of GDP. And that's going to be largely reflected in a combination of increased real growth and an increased price level. So yes, the price of goods and services post-COVID will be higher than the price of goods and services pre-COVID.
And here are increases on some everyday products in the U.S. Notice that many of them are in food items.
Definitely regular grocery stores like Giant, Harris Teeter's. Most of the prices for meat and vegetables have gone up.
I think that the, particularly like the meats, that have been inching up over the last few months. Gas prices today are ridiculous.
Inflation has hit low-income households especially hard because they shell out a larger share of their modest incomes to cover the necessities.
Gas prices are outrageous. They're holding up all these boats on in the water, they say, not letting them come in the port. But people are suffering, especially people in middle class and low class, cannot afford to be paying gas prices of $4. Soon it'll be $4.
Some of the factors driving up the prices, higher energy and food prices, strong demand and supply chain disruptions following COVID-19, and a severe shortage of workers, which is driving up wages.
Inflation is a serious problem that appears to be plaguing many parts of the world and in different sectors. Our first social media post points to the impact that inflation has had on the U.S. economy, and it's from Edward Snowden. Now, he has said inflation hits 6.2%, wiping out the raises of those lucky enough to even have a good job. Parents who are worried about the price of milk for their kids when the shelves are not empty and the establishment is like this. And we go to another post which said Americans are, by many measures, this is from the New York Times, in a better financial position than they have been in many years. They also believe the economy is in terrible shape. Why? Well, let's see if we can get an answer to that question from that post. Vijay Varghese joins us. He's from Rogue News. com. He's a contributor to Independent Precious Metals Authority. BJ, welcome. So we just looked at that media post from Snowden saying that parents are worried about giving their kids milk. But then you have this schism where some think that the U.S. economy is doing well, yet others don't. Why is there such a contradiction here, do you think?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I think one of the things that people need to understand is this. In order to understand where inflation is, you got to go back a few years, right? You got to go back to 1971. You got to go back to the 1980s where we stopped calculating GDP numbers accurately, right? We re-engineered the way gross domestic product is measured. When we did that, we became the first country in the world where we counted government expenditure as part of GDP growth. Okay, so for the longest time, I mean, we've been running ridiculous numbers, and we were able to maintain quote-unquote low inflation through accounting gymnastics, trickery in arithmetic, falsifying data. The day, you know, the list goes on and on.
Okay, that's Vijay there. Interesting how he said gymnastics is being played with the numbers. That was the case for the U.S., but what about the rest of the world? Well, here are some economies whose inflation has hit the news recently. This particular tweet says that the U.S. consumer prices have risen at the fastest pace in three decades. China factory gate inflation has hit a 26-year high. UK inflation heading to its highest level in 10 years, and your neighbor still thinks that investing in Bitcoin is a bad idea. Well, that person has not taken a look at the Bitcoin numbers recently. Okay, in the UK, this tweet says inflation has hit 4.2%. That is the highest level in a decade and climbing. Paul Johnson of the Institute for Fiscal Studies has said, unless we get pay rises of 7%, the buying power of our earnings is going to be less this year than last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is the highest that inflation's been for almost exactly 10 years. And with the labor market strong, lots of people moving into work, but earnings aren't rising this fast. Of course, we've got some big tax rises coming along in April. And all this is going to mean, I'm afraid, that unless we're getting, once you take account of the tax rise, unless we're getting pay rises of something like 7%, I'm afraid our the buying power of our earnings is going to be less this year than it was last.
Okay, let's bring in Sasha Craner. He's the founder of Craner Analytics and a trading advisor to quantitative strategies at CTA, who joins us. All right, Sasha, welcome. So we're looking at major economies around the world who are experiencing inflation, just like the U.S. is. And you're looking at China, for example, whose inflation has risen at 1.5% annual rate last month, which is double from the 0.7% of the annual rate that it experienced in September. Why is inflation going around the world at the rate that it is? What's going on here?
Well, basically, you know, most of the world today, perhaps the whole world today, has adopted this same monetary system, which today is purely based on fiat currency and essentially unrestricted possibility for monetary authorities to engage in monetary expansion. So basically, you have an uncontrolled rise in debt, which in the Western world has now exceeded about 300% debt to GDP. The debt has become unpayable. In the West, an estimated 20% of all corporations are now zombies, which means that they cannot even service their the interest on their debt from their free cash flow. And increasing interest rates would essentially implode the system. All these corporate entities would probably collapse and go bankrupt. Most of the large global systemically important banks would also collapse. And so the policymakers' only option is to print money.
This is our Info News section, where we take a look at other economic news making headlines or to have gone unnoticed from around the world. Our first story takes us to India. Who said protests don't pay off? It seems like in this case, it has. The Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has repealed farm laws after a year of protests. The repeal of what's called the Black Laws was designed to modernize agricultural sector. Well, that's a huge victory for the farmers. But why did Modi back off and take back the laws? That's the key question. We're going to find out, I'm sure, about that. Now, let's go to chip shortage. That's our next topic. It's still affecting the world, and in particular, the car industry, which is not immune to it, and in particular in Europe. Car sales there have plunged to their lowest level on record for the month of October, a 29% drop. Now, the drop comes due to continuous semiconductor supply shortages, not to mention COVID-19, of course. Have to wait and see whether this is going to, be provided or manufactured, but there are problems with the chip shortage in the world. The UK inflation is our next topic. This week, our program is about inflation, so it's a good thing that we're bringing this in here. A surge in container shipping rates, in particular, will continue well into the year 2022. Now, this came from the UN. of all places, the UN has issued this warning. It says that freight costs will increase 11%. That's a 1.5% increase on consumer prices. So you can see that that has translated from shipping costs to the consumer prices. And finally, the rich tax break. You're looking at a $285 billion tax cut for the rich that occurred under Trump. So it's a leftover from the previous U.S. administration. Now, at a time when inflation is hurting ordinary Americans and there is massive income inequality, taxes need to increase under 1%, not to give them huge tax breaks.
You're listening to Economically Wise. The series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economically Wise on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
Our in-depth section is upon us, and we will look specifically at what is happening with inflation with a focus on the United States. First, let's define what inflation is. Well, in simple terms, inflation is a general increase in prices, and as a consequence, a fall in the purchasing value of the money or purchasing power. Then there is what's known as asset price inflation. Asset price inflation is when the price of assets rises and becomes inflated. Why would the prices become inflated? Well, low interest rates. When interest rates are low, investors cannot make easy returns using low-risk methods like government bonds or savings accounts. Well, in the last 18 months or so, we want to take a look at what the U.S. has done for the Federal Reserve. Well, it has pumped money. One source, and that's massive scale, has said $3 trillion. That's in 2020. And the American Central Bank obviously is the one responsible for that, and it did it to counter the economic impact of COVID-19. As a matter of fact, central banks have actually spent $834 million per hour for the past 18 months to save the global economy. Okay, whole lot of money there to save the global economy because of the pandemic. Well, it is economics 101. When it comes down to the money supply and when it expands, what happens as a result? It lowers the value of the currency. Now, when the currency declines, relative to the value of foreign currencies, the prices of imports rise. What happens then? Well, that increases prices when that happens in the general economy. So you can see the knock-on effects that were there. Well, at first, the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve downplayed the rising costs that were happening in the U.S., which led to inflation, record inflation. They argued that they were a temporary phenomenon driven by COVID-19's unprecedented impact on the global supply chain. They later backtracked on that.
We also know that as our economy has come roaring back, we've seen some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view. Our experts believe, and the data shows, that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and are expected to be temporary. Today's economic report showing unemployment continued to fall, but consumer prices remain too high. Tell us, the American people, in the midst of this economic crisis, the recovery is showing strong results, but not to them. They're still looking out there. Everything from a gallon of gas to a loaf of bread costs more.
Okay, you can see the differing views there as the time went by. Well, it's time to bring in a guest for this Q&A to see what he can tell us about inflation. Vijay Varghese from RogueNews.com rejoins us. He's a contributor, Independent Precious Metals Authority also. Okay, so what are we looking at here when it comes to the Biden administration saying that the rising costs, he downplayed it first, then he said that they have increased and have actually impacted and have remained
and longer in its duration. We're looking at the COVID-19, obviously, impact that this has had on the global supply chain, not to mention what is happening in the U.S., which has affected things like shelter, food, cars, among other things. What is going on?
Well, the whole thing is this. We're a country that makes nothing. Our biggest exports are trash and recyclables. And our real key export is the paper dollar. So in terms of a physical economy, we've been a country that has been gutting our physical economy for the last several decades. We, the leaders, the oligarchs of this country, sold the population on this idea of a service-based economy, or no, you know, better known as a FIRE economy, finance, insurance, real estate. In other words, we've decided, the Wall Street banks decided, that it's much more profitable for them to have a purely speculative economy. So when a systemic shock like COVID-19 occurs, and it creates the type of supply chain issues, when it creates the type of capitalization issues, it's going to be catastrophic.
Well, let's see what there. What he is saying is that the U.S. really is not going through a transitory period when it comes to inflation. It's something that's going to obviously, based on what he said, probably agree with that.
Well, I think that both the government and the Federal Reserve have to talk down inflation because they need to avoid the spectacle of people panic buying and bidding prices up because they're afraid of prices rising and they're afraid of shortages. But the reality is that the inflation will probably not be transitory. So this is just, let's call it what the Federal Reserve calls the moral suasion.
In January, we're expecting lots of referrals when the children return back to school for food parcels, emergency food parcels. So that number could increase again. I reckon it will increase drastically as the weeks go on.
You can imagine the sales of some items, I mean the cost of some items, as at 2 weeks ago, has increased with like 50% increase. We experience that.
The Fed is doing what the Fed always does, which is basically taking the movement and looking to make sure they do not get entrenched in the system. And this is the reason why the market is anticipating Fed rate hikes coming shortly after the Fed is completed with its quantitative tapering.
I think the conditions for this interest lift off, which is of interest to your audience, are pretty well spelt out in this forward guidance, which clearly under the current analysis are not satisfied and certainly not in the near future.
It looks like inflation is plaguing many parts of the world. Maybe the rich can weather out this storm, but the disadvantaged, they are going to have a hard time meeting their basic needs. We begin with the U.S., where inflation has reached 6.2%, a 30-year high. The disadvantaged are suffering as a result. These are the findings based on a recently published report. Inflation will dampen the Christmas spirit for 10% of everyday people in the U.S. It's eating into recent wage increases. Struggling families spend a third of their earnings on essentials like food and energy. The timing couldn't be worse after federal pandemic relief in 5 million Americans. Germany, the Eurozone economic powerhouse, is also suffering from record inflation. Inflation has soared to its highest levels in 3 decades, and many Germans are angry as their lives have become more uncertain. Well, here she is herself, the ECB president, Madame Lagarde, talking about inflation at a press conference in Germany.
Let's look at inflation. Inflation increased to 3.4% in September. We expect it to rise further this year. But while the current phase of higher inflation will last longer than originally expected, we expect inflation to decline in the course of next year.
In the UK, however, where the country is facing record inflation, reaching a 10-year high, there is a case or two of denial among politicians in that country.
Growth up, jobs up, and debt down. Let there be no doubt, our plan is working.
We can squeeze in one more country to this segment, and that's Brazil, which is experiencing record food inflation. Brazilians are watching out for what they are eating since food inflation is ravaging the country, especially when it comes to essentials like meat. But maybe the following is what is worrying the US and maybe the rest of the world, and it's the situation in China. If China's economy keeps stumbling, it won't just take down Beijing, the whole world will collapse with it. Things like an energy crunch, the Chinese mega developer Evergrande's $300 billion potential debt default, and delays in factories shipping out products are some examples that are keeping many around the world awake at night. That does it for this segment of the program. Please send us any questions or comments. We do appreciate it.
We explained what happens when money is printed and then flooded into the system that creates inflation. Well, maybe time has run out for the U.S. to tame its inflation due to post-COVID turbulations. But as many experts have said, this debt will at some point catch up to the U.S. That does it for this edition of the program. It was great having you with us. We do appreciate any comments or questions that you sent to us. From Mikove Tahwei and the entire team, it's goodbye until the next program.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadali and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Our topic today is how important it is every once in a while for a parent to step back and look at themselves in the mirror and remember that they are supposed to be a role model for their children, because children learn primarily from what they see. Dear Sayyid, how should one do this and how important is this?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Now it's an important fact that when dealing with kids themselves, they learn more by imitating and by copying others than just, you know, trying to instruct them to do things with just words.
Right.
So as a parent, for example, we don't see our own actions. We don't see how we act and how we react.
Right.
So sometimes we say, you need to look at yourself in the mirror, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a metaphor for trying to watch yourself.
Self-reflection.
Yeah, self-reflection. For a lot of parents, like I said, they are not aware of the way they behave with their kids, especially in the first few years of the child's life. Now, most of the times we think that children at this age, they don't know much, right?
Right, yeah.
But that's not true. Like, this is the age where they constantly watching, they're constantly seeing things, right?
Observing
and,
yeah, constantly.
And this is the time for them to learn things. So they learn from the... And have you seen kids sometimes when you pray, at this age they come, they start to pray with you?
They imitate you, yeah.
They imitate, like, right. At a very, very young age.
Or whatever
like
it is you're
years,
doing.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on the couch in a special manner, they do the same.
Yeah, right, and they do this. They do the same thing that you do. They repeat the same words that you do.
Right.
They... Pretty much, whatever you do, they're trying to do the same.
Copycats, small copycats.
Exactly. So they
right.
just want to be copycats. So a lot of parents, for example, they don't realize what they do. They don't realize their actions.
Right.
They don't take it seriously. So we say, look at yourself in the mirror. See what you do. Like, at least in your mind, look at the way you say things, the things that you say, the way that you act, the way that you deal with your wife, with your older siblings,
right.
The more good things you do, and sometimes even if you have to pretend in the front of them,
right.
Because you know there's a monkey watching you, right?
Yes, right.
And you know there's a child, like we say, monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
There's a child watching you, constantly observing you. And you say, okay, you know what? I want to get a piece of information across to him. I'm going to fake it. As we
right.
say, fake it until you make it. So you fake something in front of him so he learns.
All right, with that said, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how important it is for the parents to self-reflect. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
And when we say it's important that I watch my own reflection, I see my own action, you're putting yourself in the place, as we call a qudwa, as a role model,
right?
As something for them to imitate. And kids, generally speaking, love to imitate. Even grown-ups, we love to imitate.
Yes, right.
Depending on the field that you're in, you would like you know, I've seen a lot of people who want to be mystics, for example. They go read about the life of the mystics, and they,
right.
oh, can I say it, Fulan done this, and Sheikh
yes.
Fulan done that.
It is
and
in our fitrah, in our
yeah,
essence,
yeah.
to look for this perfection we can
yeah,
find
yeah.
in others.
Being, having a role model is, like you said, is a fitrah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that people constantly trying to imitate someone.
Right,
the youth
yeah.
of the today, they want to look like this, the movie star.